This is an ABC podcast. Welcome to Grandstand at Stumps on ABC Radio, Sport Digital and ABC Listen.
Another rain-affected day, day two of the Pink Test, the third men's test between Australia and South Africa at the Sydney Cricket Ground. And, of course, just after play was called off, the rain stopped, the light got a little bit better, but they'll have to come back early tomorrow with Australia in such a commanding position at Stumps on day two at 4 for 475, having resumed this morning at 2 for 147 with Usman Khawaja on 54. Steve Smith hadn't yet faced a delivery. Well, they produced a mighty knock. Steve Smith scored 104, his 30th Test century. He was out not long after reaching triple figures, scooping one back to the bowler, and Maharaj took the catch to claim his first wicket in the three Tests of this series. Then Travis Head came into bat and continued his marvellous form of this summer and last, where he smashed 70 off 59 deliveries before he held out to the substitute fielder van der Dusen. On the boundary, it looked unlikely the catch would be taken, but in the end, it was a very good catch in the outfield. But the South African bowlers struggled again. 4 for 475. Usman Khawaja, coming off centuries in his return to Test cricket at this ground a year ago in the Ashes series against England. Earlier today, he was named the McGilvray medalist for the ABC Test Cricketer of the Year. And having resumed on 54 at Stumps, he's not out 195. Matt Renshaw is not out 5, and they're in a very strong position. I'm Andrew Moore, alongside former Australian fast bowler Stuart Clark, former Australian leg spinner Kristen Beams. Beamsy, it seems a long time ago we're doing the pre-game show on the boundary where there was a bit of sun, there was a bit of cloud, there was a bit of everything. In the end, though, despite a couple of interruptions and an early finish, a really dominant day for the Australians yet again.
Yeah, they'd be kicking back and saying, well, 4 for 475, we've done pretty well so far, especially considering all of the breaks that we've had. We've spoken a little bit about how your concentration can go up and down, lots of things can happen, the ball's getting wet, lots of things happening, but instead what we saw was an outstanding innings from Usman Khawaja, and it was really faultless. Steve Smith worked his way through some tricky periods to end up with a really good innings as well, and, you know, Travis Head continues to look like he's just playing white ball cricket at the moment.
It looks so easy for Travis Head. Stuart Clark, welcome to Grandstand at Stumps. It looked pretty comfortable for Usman Khawaja too, didn't it? He never looked in any trouble.
It looked comfortable for everyone. I think Usman Khawaja, in his own laconic way, strolled out to the middle, took centre, and, well, you know, look up at the board and see how he's went. 195 and done it pretty easily. Stephen Smith as well. Didn't look in any trouble. I think the greatest surprise of the day came when Stephen Smith actually got out. I think we were all surprised when he got out to Maharaja, because it was a faultless innings where he played some lovely shots. I think his first 10 balls, he was probably a little bit circumspect, but after that, it was the Stephen Smith we've grown to love, and he was his record just keeps getting better and better and better. And long, long day for South Africa. They'll be stiff, sore and sorry, but I think the lucky part for them is they get to come out and bowl again tomorrow.
The good news is we're about to speak to Steve Smith very shortly after his 104. Let's have a listen to some of the highlights of his innings here today.
Grandstand cricket.
Varying it all the time, his run-up, and this time Smith whips away on the leg side with the spin, and there is spin, to Themba Bavuma, and it brings up Stephen Smith's half century. 50 from 95 balls.
Harmer a little quick, he's used his feet, launching Harmer down the ground over long off. Has it made it all the way over the rope? It has. It's a six.
Now Norkia tries again. He bowls to Smith, and Smith pulls the ball away. That's it. He's got 100. He's yanked it away towards the boundary. A deep backward square. And they go through for a couple, but it's gone for four. And he's raising his bat, his arms in delight, in triumph and jubilation. Another Test 100, his 30th, and the crowd are rising to Steve Smith. He acknowledges the applause as he wheels around and kisses his helmet. Another superb, near flawless innings from Steve Smith, you'd have to say. And that shot he brought his 100 up with has been his signature throughout this innings. He's 103 not out.
And away goes Smith to drive, but he's hit it straight back. He's caught and bowled by Maharaj. There you go. He's got to 100. He went to drive and he miscued. And he's shaking his head a little bit as he walks off. Caught and bowled by Maharaj. And a wicket falls out of nowhere, just when we were celebrating and getting excited about Smith's achievement. He gets out. Oh, dear. 104.
Oh, that was an anticlimax, wasn't it?
ABC Sports, Summer of Cricket.
Australia v South Africa on ABC Radio, Sport Digital and ABC Listen.
Kristen Beams, have you ever seen a more unexpected dismissal than that one?
No. And I think just by the way that it was called, it was sort of, oh, OK, well, that's out. That is a surprise.
How'd that happen? But Maharaj finally got the wicket. But it was Steve Smith who batted so superbly. It's a day dish start. And he just went on and scored another magnificent century. Stuart Clark, Kristen Beams, Andrew Moore with you on Grandstand at Stumps. And Steve Smith joins us now in front of the Members Pavilion here at the SCG. Steve, congratulations. You're 29th in Perth. Your 30th here at your home ground must feel very nice.
Yeah. No, it was nice to score a few today and contribute. I think we're in a really good spot, 4 for 475. So it was nice to bat with Uzi. I thought he played beautifully again today. Looks in good nick and... yeah, it was a good partnership. Enjoyed it out there and nice to score a few runs.
We spoke with Usman in the pre-game show here as he was presented with a McGilvray medal for the ABC Test Cricketer of the Year, something you've certainly won in the past. But he just, as you say, never looked in any trouble, did he?
Didn't, did he? Played really nicely. It's pretty slow wicket. Wasn't a great deal there for the fast bowlers. Not a heap there for the spinners. Probably starting to be a little bit more. The wicket's starting to get a bit more worn, which is nice. So... it felt pretty comfortable for batting in a way. Not much was going on, so it was just building a partnership and to put on a couple of hundred with him was nice.
And what did you make of the South African bowling attack? It looked like they maybe set more defensive fields than what we've seen. Did you think that was a reflection of the wicket or the bowling? What did you make of it?
Probably a reflection of the wicket. I mean, yeah, there wasn't a great deal there. It was pretty slow. When they bowled short, it kind of just sat up. And then, yeah, when it was pitched up, you could hit through the line. So felt pretty nice for batting. Obviously a pretty short side, one side as well. So I think we saw a lot of boundaries out there. So, I don't know what more to add, really.
We seem to interview every match, talk to you about how many runs you scored. Do you ever get bored? Is there anything... What does it just... I know that's a ridiculous question, but what goes through Steve Smith's mind pre-test match?
The same thing every game. It's just going out, doing my thing and trying to contribute to the team. And I was pretty disappointed when I got out today. I lost concentration for a little bit there and, missed out on happy hour, I reckon. Looked like just after 100, it was time to start playing a few shots. I actually wanted to start sweeping and practice a few things for India, to be honest with you. So I was disappointed I couldn't do that. But Heddy came in and played a beautiful little knock, 70 or 50 rocks again. So just entertaining, wasn't he? So, I think we're in a good position.
We were just discussing. We just had some highlights of your innings and the wicket when you did get out. We just were wondering if that's the most surprising wicket that we've ever seen in Test cricket, the most unexpected wicket. Obviously, it was for you, and that's disappointing after you score a century. But how do you reconcile that disappointment with the achievement you'd notched up?
It's nice to get 30 Test hundreds. I think I'm third on the list now. I think I saw it come up on the board and fourth on the all-time run scorers, I think, for Australia. And that was, to see some of the names up there, it was pretty special to be amongst that. And whilst I don't play for that kind of thing, it was cool to see that on the board. And, I'll just keep trying to do it and keep trying to score as many runs as I can and help us win some games of cricket.
I'm interested listening to you talking about, I'm going to try and work on some stuff for India. At what point do you get to the, I've got 100, I'll work on that stuff. Is that just subconscious you thinking about it, or just, that you're in the moment and the ball's there to hit and, that's in the future? It's just, it must be nice to be able to do that in the middle of an innings.
Sometimes. The wicket was pretty good, to be fair, and there wasn't a great deal going on. So, I felt as though I could change a few different things in my batting today. I think with Jansen, I started to bat a bit different to the rest of them. I started batting how I was batting probably last or couple of years just because it felt right. So that's what it's all about.
Yeah, I picked up in commentary. You were taking that step across because you felt as though you could access the onside a bit better or something like that. It's you're obviously in that moment. You can feel it happening.
Yeah, no, I think I know the conditions here really well. The wicket tends to have a pretty similar pace to it out here in the middle. So I thought, I didn't feel really threatened on the outside of the bat. So for me, it was... there was a little bit of reverse swing, so it was just getting in positions where I could be comfortable and I felt I could play everything off the back foot, and if I wanted to drive, I could just get my weight back through the ball. So yeah, that was the theory behind that, and just felt right.
But it worked. There's no question. Big Pete here, mate. Is he around?
He was here today. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Big Pete.
Big was here. So
Stephen's dad doesn't miss a game, mate.
Loves it out here.
You mentioned the South African spinners weren't overly effective. How effective is Nathan Lyon going to be on this wicket? Because it does seem to me that there's a fairly big difference between the spin attacks of both teams.
No, I wouldn't say that. I think they're both good bowlers. Harmer in particular, I thought, had really good revs on the ball today. And probably the last spell he bowled, I was starting to visually see a little bit more happening on the wicket. So I think that's a good sign. I was starting to think almost sweep, and if I start thinking sweep, it's probably because there's something there that I'm not quite comfortable with. So hopefully our bowlers, with a bit more work through their bowlers and a bit more traffic on the wicket, things will play a bit differently for our spinners, hopefully.
What about your leg spin after finishing the game off in Melbourne? Does this
gold.
Get the eyes big for you?
We got two spinners for a reason.
Just finally, Steve, probably most importantly, have you ever been asked in an interview after scoring a test century whether you get bored with batting before? Has Stuart Clarke just broken new ground?
No, a few people have asked me that, but absolutely not. I was actually so disappointed that I missed out on the happy hour after I scored 100 there. Heddy came in and just hit 70 or 50, and I was about to start playing some shots. Particularly with that short boundary, I think my bottom hand was probably on the bat harder than it ever has been today. For some reason, I just wanted to keep smacking it that way. I held myself back and refrained a lot, but I felt like I could, on a few occasions, have just gone after that short boundary.
I know him, and I've known him for a long period of time. I can ask him that. No, you can't.
I wouldn't. Steve, well batted again today, mate.
Thank you. Cheers.
Sorry you missed out on happy hour. Steve Smith joining us here at the SCG. All smiles, as you would expect. Although that's something I always love listening to, Stewie and Beamsy, when someone as elite as he is, was talking more about the disappointment of getting out rather than scoring 104. It shows you just how competitive and how elite players like that are.
Yeah, and I think back to Travis Head when he was out for 175, and he was talking about the fact you're filthy when you get out on 99. You're filthy when you get out on 175 as well, because you feel like you've genuinely missed out. And I think that just speaks volumes about this batting group. And I think Neil was saying, was it something like 83 test hundreds or something between the top five of the Australian batting lineup? This is a team that's humming along nicely.
Stewie, hearing Steve say then that I had India in mind and I was going to start playing sweeps, we interviewed Manus Labuschagne after his century in Adelaide against the West Indies, and I said to him, every part of your game has been analysed to within an inch of its life, but what is going through your head day after day after day to keep you this good? And he said, well, at the moment, I'm thinking when the bowler's coming in, I'm not only concentrating on this ball and this innings, but I'm also thinking about the South Africa series coming up, how I'm going to play this sort of bowling in India and how I'm going to play it in England. Seemed to be a lot going through ahead for someone who's just scoring runs at will. What about bowlers? Do they have that much of a complicated thought beyond that delivery?
Look, I'd like to stand here and say, yeah, we do, like a lot of, but the answer's no, because you're in the moment, you're just trying to get these guys out, and because they're so good, you're working on, in the game, this is what we're trying to do. So I don't know. Look, Stephen says that a bit, I think it's a bit waxerical, he's thinking about that, you know, I think Stephen wants to play the sweep because he thinks it's a scoring opportunity in this game. I don't think he's thinking, well, I've got to practice my sweep in a test match, because he can do that in the nets if he really wanted to. From a bowling point of view, you're just working to whatever that plan is, and you're ball after ball, and you're trying to execute it to get it right and get these guys out, because the last thing you want to do is be in the field like the South Africans are. That's long periods of time.
You wonder how he continues to grow. I mean, as Steve himself rattled off where he is in these lists of run scorers and century makers now, with 30 to go, one ahead of Sir Donald Bradman. You know, still, what, 33, 34? He's still got a few years left. He's clearly still elite. Where's he going to end up is the big question.
Yeah, I think it'll be his choice, and what a nice position to be in as a player when you're at the top of your game. You know, when he's talking about the, you know, both Manus Labuschagne and Steve Smith talking about series ahead, I must admit, I don't know what that feels like. As a fringe player, it was always about, okay, how do I keep being selected in the next game? And maybe for Stewie and I, it's a little bit different as bowlers as well, because bowlers tend to be rested, rotated based on the conditions that you see out in the middle, whereas the batting lineup tends to stay pretty regular. So it's such a nice position to be in as a player, when you know, hey, you know what, I'm in the best team consistently, my game's in a really good place, and I'm putting runs on the board. Like, that's the trifecta. I don't think you can do much better than that, and it allows you to think more broadly about other things within the game.
I got rotated in 2009. I just never got rotated back in. It was problematic.
It was only a half a rotation.
It was one of those rotations I wasn't aware of at the time. They're just in such a class of their own, those two guys, the way they go about their business. And look, Usman Khawaja today, he was in a class of his own, wasn't he? Talking to him pre-match, it was like, oh, yeah, g'day, mate, how you going? Yeah, I get a few, but we get to bit this and that. We stand here now 7-8 hours later and he's 195 not out, going to score 200, you assume, tomorrow.
Isn't it amazing in sport, and both of you would have felt this, whatever venue it was, how some players feel so comfortable at a certain venue. Steve Smith's record, I mean, everywhere it's phenomenal. It's beyond phenomenal here. Same with Usman Khawaja, and he spoke about his love for this ground and the history of coming here as a child and, you know, coming in when it was free in the last 10 overs of a one-day game and all of that sort of thing. But you see it, you know, in AFL, full forwards will kick 8 goals plus every time they're at a certain venue. Rugby league, the same with try scorers. Alex Johnston from South Sydney at Stadium Australia. Why is it, do you think, that some grounds just seem more comfortable than others, whether it's your home ground or not?
Well, I think we try to find the science in it, don't we? We look at it and say, oh, you know, they know how to play on this wicket. But the wicket's generally fairly different most of the time. And we've spent a little bit of time talking about this wicket and saying, well, is it the SCG of 10 years ago? Is it different? The wicket changes. There's no doubt about that. But I think we look for the science. But in reality, I think it's just a comfort. I think as a player showing up to a venue that you've consistently performed at, it's more of a placebo effect than something that we actually see out on the ground itself.
It's got to be feel, doesn't it, more than anything else?
Feel, comfort, familiarity. When you come out here, sometimes, you know, I look back and I think playing in Brisbane as a bowler for me was great because the wicket, you knew you went up there and the wicket was going to bounce and seam a bit, so you felt like you were in the game. And then sometimes you'd come here in a Shield game or even, you know, only played 2 or 3 test matches here, but if the wicket's dour, you know, it's going to be hard work. So it's that mindset sometimes that you come in with, whereas when you went to Brisbane, you knew you were going to have something. You went to Perth, you knew it was going to bounce and fly through. If I'd imagine when they play a pink ball test, and I never played one, but they know and the lights, the ball's going to swing around, so they're a chance. So there's that subconscious, and there's a lot to be said of being positive about what you're doing. And being in form and out of form, you hear that topic talked about by commentators and players a lot. It's being in form is just being positive, I think, and being confident in what you're doing. And being out of form is being negative and finding all the downside to everything. You know, it can be a beautiful day, Grant, and if you're not in good form, I'm not feeling good today. You actually feel no different. It's nothing different. It's all in your mind.
You are with Andrew Moore, Kristen Beams, and Grandstand at Stumps number one fan, Stuart Clark, here at the SCG. Australia 4 for 475 at Stumps on another light and rain-affected day here at the SCG. So the plan going forward, is this an automatic overnight declaration, do we think?
No, bearing
in mind we've lost some play already and it's, you know, rain forecast again tomorrow?
No. He's 195 not out. We're going to let him get 200. Yeah, I don't know if they're going to bat for too long. I think he'll get 200 and, you know, Matt Renshaw will do what... I don't know. I'd imagine if they bat for half an hour, I'd be surprised. If they bat for half an hour, they'll be 500 and that'll be it. Pull the pin and let's get out and have a bowl.
Yeah, the bowlers will do a full warm-up in the morning. There'll be the slip cord and be out doing everything that they need to do, but they will bat until Usman Khawaja either gets out, gets his 200, changeover.
Can I ask you, this is the interesting thing to me about tomorrow, is we've only got two fast bowlers. Mm. And then we've got Marnus that bowls his little dibbly-dobblies when he wants to.
Or Dross, as Jimmy refers to his medium pace.
So what happens? That means they've got to bowl their spinner, arguably in the 10th, 11th over, the spinner has to bowl. And is that Agar or do you go to Lyon? There hasn't been a lot sideways off the wicket, so that's a big question. And then you've got another spinner. And
Hazelwood's got a bit of a point to prove, doesn't he, coming back into the team?
Well, the concern is Hazelwood, he's bowled a lot in the nets, but he hasn't played a game for a period of time. It's a risk. Taking two spinners into this game was a risk for the Australian cricket team because you've got unknown. Paddy Cummins, he's had a fair workload, not a massive workload, but you've just got to go on a different style of game. You can't have three quicks.
Shows you how important Cameron Green has become in this team, doesn't it?
Hence, he got 3.15 or 17 million, and that's...
For 6 weeks.
6 weeks. The value of Cameron Green in any team, if you took Cameron Green out of this team and you put him in the South African team, yes, there'd be a better team because he's a quality player, but he just gives you balance. Andrew Flintoff, Wazim Akram, Kapil Dev, you name it. There's been...
Jacques Callis,
there you go. We're all looking. South Africa, you talk to any of the South African commenters, they're looking for the next Jacques Callis. You don't just replace one player, you replace two players, and arguably he was a great slipper, you replace three players.
I wonder if they're hoping Marco Jansen ends up being that given a few more years' experience. So South Africa, you know, they're staring down the barrel of it again, Kristen. They've already lost this series. Their batting's been woeful. Their bowling has not been much better over the last two test matches after they were very competitive in Brisbane in favourable conditions. They only have a few tests left this whole year. So they don't want to leave here, you know, getting their bum smacked again. What's their mindset going forward in this test?
Well, the series is done and dusted. You can put that to one side. But these are guys playing for their career. So to say that tomorrow they don't have anything to play for, well, that's certainly not what's going to happen. There's some guys here at the back end of their career, especially when you're considering that the lack of test match cricket they've got this year. I think there's four tests for the whole year. So if you're a test match batter, this is your moment right here to tomorrow to make sure that you can make a contribution. Otherwise, it's potentially your last test match.
Who knows what? Four test matches, not a lot of test cricket in a year, is it? So they've got some soul searching to do, the South Africans. They've got some points to prove, because you're right, they want to be picked in whatever the next series is, and you haven't got many opportunities. Otherwise, you go back and, you know, apply your trade in first-class cricket. Maybe you go and play in England and counter cricket if you can, or it's all short version cricket. So there's a couple of points to be proved for a few of the South African batters.
And just back to their bowling for a moment, what did you make of the performance of their spinners, Maharaj and Harmer?
Oh, I've seen better. I think it's probably the polite way to put it. Not a lot of turn. They work. Harmer works hard. Like, he's got none for 109. He bowls a lot of overs. I thought he was probably better than Maharaj, although he picked up the wicket of Smith, even to Smith's surprise. But they haven't. There's been no penetration, and I think they've sort of just dabbled both sides of the wicket. They haven't really worked to a plan. They've just had, you know, they go straight for a little bit, and then they'll drop short, and then they bowl wide. I don't know if that's the plan. I think it just looked a bit made up to me.
Yeah, Maharaj has got a great record, but what he hasn't been able to do is find a way here in Australia. I don't think he's got his pace right. I don't think he's worked out how to get the fields to the left and right hand combination very well. So whilst his record is great, he hasn't performed here on Australian soil. Harmer, there's a little bit more to like. I think the way that he actually gets a little bit more overspin, we saw him at times turn the ball. So there's a little bit more to like, but we've just seen little flashes of brilliance. We haven't seen pressure built up over time, and we haven't seen them sort of get those wickets. And I think if he could actually pick up a couple of wickets, we'd be looking at it differently, saying, well, there's actually something there for the future. Maharaj, unfortunately, I didn't think that.
The challenge for any spin bowler and finger spinner is Australia, and there's not a lot of finger spinners that have come to Australia and been successful. Nathan Lyon has got a good record, but if you go through the history of time with finger spinners, certainly right arm off spinners, it's been hard work no matter where they've played in Australia.
Ravi Ashwin's the only one in recent times that's looked remotely like it, and he's one of the best of all time, the Indian spinner. You just heard some wind, I'm sure, just pick up here at the SCG. Beamsy, how cold is it all of a sudden?
I've got a jumper on, and nothing that I'm wearing actually matches, which is good because I'm on radio. But it's so cold down here.
Freezing. It's ridiculous.
It is very cold. But I hope you've got your pink ready for tomorrow. Now, Stewie, I know you're coming to the cricket at the SCG test, always dressed up to the nines with the jacket and the tie. It's
No tie,
okay, just the jacket. But looking very smart. Tomorrow, you're ready to pink up for Jane McGrath Day?
I've got a pinky shirt I'll have on, Andrew.
A pinkish?
A pinky shirt. I'm trying to think what's in the wardrobe, actually.
I'm sure you'll have something. What about you, Beams? Are you ready?
Well, I'm ready, but I'm a bit concerned about the weather. I probably have an amazing pink outfit for 25-plus degrees and no rain.
I'd find something else.
No. She's got to dig in. She's got it especially for Jane McGrath Day.
We can't have a freeze to death.
Well, you can bring a jumper. That's radio. It doesn't matter if it matches or not. Who cares? It is Jane McGrath Day tomorrow. Another virtual seats. Glenn McGrath for the McGrath Foundation is hoping for 150,000 virtual seats. That was the goal for this test match. They're about that now, just underneath it, in fact, and they've had another massive day for the virtual seats. With the McGrath Foundation, go to their website if you'd like to donate. It's all about getting care nurses in for breast cancer.
It is, absolutely. It's a great cause, and everyone should support that and get to that number, 150, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, they'll smash that tomorrow. The official crowd here at the ground today, 27,663. It really did grow because for the start of play at 10 o'clock this morning, there was 7,000 or 8,000, but they did come in. There'll be another early start tomorrow, 10 a.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time start, which means the pre-game show will start from 9:30 tomorrow morning.
How excited that! And you know what? The first hour, it's crucial for the South Africans, both with bat and ball, because if they can get a couple of wickets, it puts some pressure on Australia. But when they get out to bat, they can't lose a couple of wickets quickly either, that first hour. Crucial.
Is there any prospect that tomorrow, after 45 minutes, we're going, why haven't they declared? Uzi's 225.
No.
No chance.
Full stop, yep.
Okay.
I like tell you who needs to declare is the people sitting in the corporate suites over there. It's time to declare and go home. They're getting their full money's worth still, aren't they?
Well, remember during COVID times when we'd have to do this from in front of the Brewongle stand, they were very, very vocal with their support.
Got heckled.
Stuart Clark. Very much so. All right, Stuart, catch you tomorrow, mate.
Good on you, Andy. Thanks, mate.
Kristen Beams, do it. Go pink.
I'll do my best.
Do it for UA tomorrow here at the SCG. That just about takes us out from day two. Unfortunately, a few more interruptions and an early finish once again. We'll have an early start every day for the rest of this test match over the next 3 days, with Australia at 4 for 475 in its first innings. Usman Khawaja not out, 195. Matt Renshaw on 5. Steve Smith made 104 and Travis Head made 79. On behalf of the entire team, including our producer Matt Clinch and Ronell Moa, Rick Finlay, the number one statistician in the game, and Ned and Jonesy back in the studio, I'm Andrew Moore. Catch you tomorrow from 9:30 a.m.